Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and good afternoon, and also good afternoon for those on the East Coast and West Coast and those on Texas time. Thank you for tuning in to Krishna Hearts Radio. The time is 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 11 p.m. Mountain Standard Time and 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. Covering all my bases there. Thank you so much for tuning in to the second portion of At What Cost? And this is an important topic because this world, what we have, will not last. The only thing that you can take with you is who you bring to heaven, is who you bring to Christ. So when we pass on, to the ground, to the dust, our spirits return to Jesus, to the Father who gave it to us. That's why suicide is self-murder and people go to hell for committing suicide. We'll discuss that next week. And then your soul is actually what you have. So we are three parts. We are spirit first, soul second, and we are flesh. The Bible does tell us that in bodily exercise, there is little profit. But he who practices holiness with contentment is great gain. So you see the emphasis that the Bible places on our spirits and what we do with our soul as great gain. So before we begin, I'd like to open up in prayer. As I said in all my episodes, I believe that the Holy Spirit manifests whatever gifts he wants to. I expect all nine gifts of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit is my best living in me. He's living in those who are born again, I should say. And he is our ever constant companion. Jesus says that before he was led to Pentecost, before he was led to Calvary, rather, Pentecost was for that. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Because the disciples were very sad that he was leaving. They knew he was going. I think it was 3 days prior. And he said, I will give you a comforter. And he will testify to me. So the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus. It's not to glorify us, not to glorify me. Our job is to glorify Jesus. As Christians, we take on the role as ambassadors for Christ, and we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have to represent him in the way that we should represent him according to our gifts, our personality. That's why he made you. He didn't make you to be someone to copy someone. He didn't make you to be like this movie star or this singer or this actor, because God gave them, that person, their own personality, their own gift. God will use you the way he made you, through your personality, through your gift, because your personality is going to reach that person that movie star cannot reach, because that person might not like movie stars, or that actor cannot reach. I'm not saying that God only uses movie stars and actors. I'm just saying, as an example, that we should not try to emulate someone else, because we are special in our own right. Do you know the process that it takes to even be born the process and all the synapses and all the nervous system, everything that it takes in those 9 months to be born, it is a miracle from God that just to have a baby and to for your body to go through all those processes, and then you live until 70 or 80 years old and you have that same heart, that same blood, it is beautifully miraculous. So for you to try to emulate someone who you're not, it is a dishonor to yourself because you're special, you're beautiful, you're magnificent in your own right. Jesus says, he says that I knew you in your mother's womb. So let's get to know this Jesus, our Jesus, who made us, who loves us, who cherishes us, who died for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this opportunity that I can speak to the people, not for my glory, but for your glory. Manifest your gift. Manifest your power as they hear my words. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. Not my words, your words. Not my thoughts, your thoughts. Not my desires, your desires. Father, in the name of Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, he took the keys from the devil. From death, he has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Death has no power over the person that's listening to this. Devil has no power over the child of God. May we know our rightful place in you. We do not have to fear the devil. We do not have to fear death. We do not have to fear his tactics because you have given us power over them. And Lucas says, you have given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, that nothing shall by any means harm us. You said your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing unto the soul and spirit and the joints and marrows, is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. We thank you, Lord, that we fear nothing. For the Bible says, don't fear man, but fear him who's able to cast both soul and body into hell. So we reverence you, Father, and we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful Friday, May 11th. May you receive all the glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, as I said before, before I do my radio shows every week, I don't crack open the Bible and I'm going to talk about this topic. Holy Spirit, what should I say? Now, I do pray that, but I prepare for this every single week, every single day. And just as we need food, we should be reading our Bibles because that's our spiritual food. That's how you get stronger. So I depend on the Holy Spirit. I trust in him. He gives me what I should say to you. The scriptures are from memory. You know, when you read your Bible, you become closer to Christ. You become like him. And I pray because I confess that I have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ, then we have his thoughts and his desires. So as I was stating before, this world is temporary. The Bible states that. And I pray that you get an understanding of that because a lot of people nowadays, especially since we are at the end of the pandemic, a lot of people have hoarded a lot of items. They've hoarded paper goods, clothing. They're just hoarding a lot of things, thinking that that's going to bring them happiness, thinking that that's going to give them some sort of satisfaction. Yes, it can give you temporary happiness, but as I stated in my prior show, that joy comes in the morning, and that joy comes from the Holy Spirit, that well of life springing up on the inside of you. So yes, God does bless us. We might see a blanket that we might like or a pair of shoes or a sculpture that we might like, and God blesses us. I've been in many, many, many situations where I've asked the Lord, Lord, I would like, I need some new curtains, or I need, you know, something or some shoes that I didn't need, but I desired them, and he gave me that, not because I I wanted, not because I placed that as an idol, but because I sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things were added unto me. He knew that those shoes wouldn't have me. Now, I asked God for those shoes in 2016. It is 2023. I believe that's 7 years ago. I still have those shoes. I've never had to get them the heel resurfaced. I did have to do some minor cleaning, but that was it. He gave me the exact shoes that I wanted. I would go to a yard sale, and he would give me the curtains that I needed, everything. And so I'm not saying that to say that I have, you know, household stuff that I don't need. I'm just saying that when we seek God first, it's not like he doesn't want us to have things. He just doesn't want us to make an idol of those things. So whoever needed to hear that about hoarding, the issue, you're placing your trust, you're placing your faith in material things instead of the Almighty God, those things are the things that you're hoarding is money. That's money that you could save, that's money that you could use to help you move, to pay your car payment. So look around your home, find things that you've hoarded, ask the Holy Spirit to help you get rid of them and sell them, and you're going to feel how light your spirit is, because when you have a lot of things, your mind and attention is focused on those things. You have to manage those things. So, and I'm not saying that you can't have nice things. I have nice things, and it's because of my Father in heaven who gives them to me, and it's totally scriptural. God says he is the Father of lights, and he will not withhold any good thing from us. So that's biblical, but he has to make sure that you're not going to make an idol, and why should we? These are things that can be, that can't speak or hear. These are things that that God blesses with to enjoy. He gives us things to enjoy. That's in the Bible. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Father. He takes care of his children. He's my Father. He's my daddy. He takes care of me as his daughter. We are King's children. Act like it. Speak like it. Talk like it. Walk like it. And if you know how to act like a king's child, you start in the Bible. You start with the Holy Spirit. Ask him, Father, I need to act like who I am. You start with that word. That word is a lie. You know, when we go out to a buffet, I haven't been to a buffet in a while, but I have been to several. And I'm looking at all the food, and I always gravitate to the fruits. I love to have fruits and veggies. And then I might have, like, you know, some rice, something that will not go through my metabolism as fast, because fruits, you know, only take about 15, 25 minutes for it to go through your system, and then it's completely digested and in your bloodstream. So, but those foods go through so quickly because they're alive. They go through your esophagus, they go through your salivary glands, breaks it down, they go through your body, your stomach, and then they go, your blood picks up the nutrients, the enzymes. Those enzymes are used to repair your cells. They're used to repair anything that needs to be repaired. That's why the Bible says in Genesis, every good and herb-bearing seed I will give you to eat. It's important to incorporate not just bodily exercise, but also we eat the right things. Now, you may say, Aaliyah, what does this have to do with my soul, to do with your soul? Because in this life, you're born. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. You're born. You're a beautiful child. You in school, high school, you get married, have children. And you develop these habits, and that's why the Bible says, seek me early that I may be found, because he wants you to seek him early so you could develop the God type of habits. You're not developing worldly habits. So you begin to, maybe you begin to buy a lot of things, and you begin to buy a boat, or you begin to look at that boat as an idol, and you begin to hoard things. God has blessed you with a lot of money, some property. And instead of looking to God for your sustenance or trusting in him, you trust in man. You trust in man to, if I sell this, I will get this, or if I buy this, I will get that, because man gave it to me. And the Israelites in the Old Testament are infamous for that. When God had made them fat, they forgot about our Lord. But yet, when they were in trouble, he cried to them. He cried to them. He loved them. And so I said this to say this. And in the Bible, it's also written where Jesus says, a man, he became very rich and wealthy. And he said, you know, I will take my ease. And I will build barns. Let me read that. I want to read that to you so you will and build. I apologize for this brief delay. So that's in Luke 12, 16 to 21. I'm just going to read that to you briefly. And I, as a people who understand the radio show, I like to read from the King James Version. And here it is. And this is Jesus. This is Jesus talking in Luke 12, 16 to 21. He says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He has no room to hoard his stuff. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, putting his trust in his things. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, remember what I said in the beginning. There are three parts. Your spirit, soul, and body. So he's speaking to his soul, which is mind, will, and emotion. Your spirit is where the Holy Spirit dwells. But the Holy Spirit is the candle of the Lord, so we can see everything. And so he said, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, fired of me. Then, whose shall those things be? Whose goods will these be? Whose goods will these belong to, which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And that's in Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. So as the Holy Spirit leads, there's someone listening that has laid up treasure for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Whose things shall these be? Things that you have. I have enough stuff for many years. I have enough food for many years. I've hoarded up enough bathroom paper. I've hoarded up enough sustenance for myself. I've built cellars. I have these cellars, these underground cellars. I've torn down my barn, and I put all my stuff there. And like, your soul should be required of you. Are you ready? If God were to say that to you today, would you be ready? Your soul is required of you. Will he weigh the balance? See, this is important because at what cost are you willing to lay down your life for your things? Are your things more important to you than God? I implore you today because Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, creator of heaven and earth, and all things there are therein. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, every tongue, everything in heaven, everything in the earth, and everything beneath the earth, the devil himself will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's coming. That time is coming where those people who and God forbid, I don't even like to say it, who rejected our Lord will have to face him. Those Pharisees who talked about Jesus, who didn't believe in him, they have to face him. What will be your answer when you face Jesus and you say, Lord, about all this stuff, but I thought that could save me. I'm speaking on simple terms now because it's someone that needs to hear that. The time is very short. Jesus, during this show, he could come in the next few minutes. All the prophecies that Jesus, or rather that needed to be fulfilled, are fulfilled. There's nothing else that needs to be fulfilled before the coming of Christ. We're in a period of grace now. I believe those prophecies that were fulfilled years ago. Well, not a long, long time ago, but years ago. We're in a time of grace. This is a period of grace where God is summoning, he's beckoning those to get right, because once the rapture happens, now this is not the second coming, this will be the rapture. The second coming one, when I and other servants who are ready, God forbid, I pray that I'm accounted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass. It's them for you, Jesus, the Son of Man. I pray that every day. I pray that I'm worthy. I pray that every day. Because the road is narrow. It's not broad. It's narrow. So you have to repent daily to stay on that straight and narrow so you can make the rapture. But at what cost? What do you value your soul? What is more important than your soul? Are your things? Is your house? Your gold, your car, your money. All those things are temporary. All those things can be burned up. All those things will not last. For what Mark chapter 8, verses 36 through 37, Mark chapter 8, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or Jesus is saying, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So your soul is very important to Jesus. And your soul is very, it should be very important to you. So I want to implore you today to evaluate what you value most. Do you value your things or Jesus? Now, you may say, okay, Ali, I got it. So I need to take my soul into consideration. I need to evaluate my life. But how do I get there? First things first, are you a Christian? If you are not a Christian, then these words are going to be a little bit hard to swallow. I want to read to you that passage about the rich man and the needle. And that's in Matthew 19:24. In the King James Version, it says, and again, Jesus is speaking, and again I say to you, it is easier for a camel, eye of a needle, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So, that was Matthew 19:24. So if you are not born again, these words are going to be a little hard for you because the devil has blinded the eyes of those who don't believe, says it in the Bible. So I'm going to ask you to become a Christian. And the way that you become a Christian is this. And I'm going to read that scripture to you. I know part, but I'm going to read it to you. He that confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believes in his heart that Jesus was raised from the dead will be saved. And that's Romans 10:19. And it says again that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, you should be saved. So that's first things first. You confess with your mouth, Father, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he rose the third day. And you're confessing with your mouth. Please forgive me for all my sins. Please forgive me for everything I've done wrong. Please forgive me for everything I've done that was an offense to you. I want to be in the family of God. I want to be a Christian. I want to be born again. Make me new. Transform me. Make me into a new person. Give me your spirit, Lord. Make me a Christian. Make me become reborn. When you say that out of sincerity, you know, you don't have to be anywhere fancy. You can be in your living room. You could be somewhere because Jesus is everywhere. He will hear that prayer no matter where. You could be on your bike. You can be in a parking lot in the new store. You will hear that prayer out of sincerity. Jesus will come into your heart, whatever you're battling with, drugs, all, he will help you with that. So that's first things first. Now, let's say that you're already there. Let's say you're already a Christian, but you still have this problem. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your number one resource. This is not a figment of someone's imagination. This is a real person. This is an actual person, and he deserves respect and honor and reverence because he is God. So you say, Holy Spirit, I have this problem. I need your help. He's going to point you to Jesus. He's going to point you to Jesus through the scripture. Now, you may have, you might say, Leah, well, I want to do these things, but I need help. I need help to move stuff. I'm not well. I'm sick. Then you start confessing what the Bible says about me. You may, God forbid, if anyone's listening, I pray, you may have cancer. You may have other disease. Don't say it's my cancer. You're owning it. You say what the Bible says and cut that thing out from the root. I am the head, not the tail. I'm above all, and I'm not beneath. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus comes with healing in his wings. And then you say, Father, I want to do these things, but I need help. He will send someone to help you. This is the scripture that I have on my wall. Nothing is impossible to him that believeth. And we must, what pleases God, the Bible says, faith. We must come to God. We must believe that he is. We must have faith in him. And you might say, Leah, but I don't know where to get started. Then you ask God for wisdom. The Bible says that when we ask him for wisdom, he will give us wisdom liberally, and he will not scold us, and he will not scorn us like some people may. Oh, my gosh, look at that person asking for help. Jesus would never embarrass you. He would never hurt you. He will help you. So you start with being a Christian. You're a Christian now. You start with the Holy Spirit and having him help you. You start on your hands and needs, and you start praying and asking him to show you areas in your life where you have made an idol. You start asking, showing you areas where that you may be in danger of not making the rapture, or that your family may be in danger. This might not be for you, it may be for someone in your family, but your key is prayer. And then after you've prayed and God has given you the instructions, you do exactly what he tells you to do, and you don't veer. I love you. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, you could always email me at Aaliyah, A-L-E-A, at personalhearts.org, P-R-S-O-N-A-L-H-E-A-R-T. I love you. Have a beautiful weekend. Happy Friday, and thank you for listening. God bless you.